second scripture reading this morning comes from Revelation. I read from the seventh chapter, verses 9 through 17. Listen again for God's word. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A number of books have been written in the last 20, 30, maybe 40 years, bemoaning the poor old church. They lament how so many congregations are so out of step, so out of harmony with the tune of the times. Yes, people accuse the church, particularly ones like this one, mainline Protestant churches, of being old-fashioned, outdated. Now let's admit it. You can see their point. For example, for Sunday worship, we pastors dress in the fashion of centuries long past. My stole was once the equivalent of a Roman necktie. When Western males stopped wearing them around the 5th century, many ministers, like me, didn't. Now, the black robe, by contrast, is relatively recent. It goes back only to the 16th century. The Geneva gown was first worn by professors and ministers to signify that they were educated in their field. And again, all your pastors wear them even today. For most of my ministry, I wore a clergy collar, another centuries-old tradition, symbolic of being yoked to Christ. Now, maybe I stopped because I heard a true story of a Presbyterian pastor going to a young children's Sunday school class one day and asking them why they thought he wore a clergy collar. There was silence. Then one little boy spoke up, saying, "Doesn't it for 6 months keep fleas and ticks away?" True story. True story. And not only is our fashion old style, but other things are also. Our sanctuary, dedicated in 1888, was designed to look something like a medieval temple, a medieval cathedral, back centuries ago. Our music, while glorious, certainly isn't on the popular radio station's top 10 list. And the Bible. The Bible is a very, very old book with very old words and old beliefs. Little wonder there are folk who say if the church really wants to speak to modern people, it had better get its act together and modernize itself. The poor old church had better get with it. But this morning, I want to suggest that tradition, even ancient tradition, far from limiting our view to the rear view mirror, has a way of enriching all our vision. Let me clarify. Christian people are those who are to do what is right. But of course, when we are mainly listening to the voice of our own conscience or deciding merely on the basis of our own personal experience, correct action simply means what seems right to me. But such simplification runs the risk of making us, in the words of the late philosopher G.K. Chesterton, slaves to the opinions of those who just happen to be walking about. You see, many of us have freed ourselves from the past only to become slaves to the present. And the present, my friends, is a very demanding master. Ask your high school and junior high students who are trying to keep up with their peers. But the past, experienced in or out of church, gives us options. He had been born, like most of us, in the right kind of family on the right side of town. His father was a wealthy cloth merchant. He had a good education, good looks, good friends, and liked good times, good wine, and an occasional good fight. His name was Francis. He grew more serious as he grew older, but still not too serious. He was concerned about the plight of the poor, but not overly concerned. Meeting a leper on the road one day, he spurred his horse, flinging a bit of gold toward the beggar to ease his conscience. Suddenly, from nowhere, a great wave of pity swept over that carefree, still young man. He turned back, dismounted, took all the money out of his pocket and thrust it into the leper's hands. And overcoming his revulsion of the leper's sores, he embraced him. Of course, we know him today as Saint Francis of Assisi. The young man who walked out of a good position with his father in order to go to God. You see, remembrance gives options. It's good to look back on a saint like him. Take the famous peace prayer attributed to him as an example. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. These words that begin the prayer are an inspiring example for Christians even today to live by. So we come to worship Sunday after Sunday to be nurtured by such ancient prayers and to learn how to pray such a prayer in our own words for our own time. And if it proves too difficult, our first scripture reading from Romans reminds us that when we don't know what to pray, God's Spirit prays for us, intercedes for us, both in worship and in day-to-day life. As mentioned, we celebrate this Sunday, All Saints Sunday. That festival when we give thanks to God for the saints who have walked the way of faith before us. But in a way, every Sunday is All Saints. Whenever we sing a hymn, read from Scripture, preach, or even pray, we are doing so with the saints. We are dependent on those who have gone before us to tell us the stories, teach us the tunes, and give us the words whereby we praise God and grow in our faith, our prayer life, and our commitment. Today's scripture lesson from Revelation, the last book of the Bible, speaks of heaven as a great multitude so large they cannot be counted. They are those who, having sung God's songs on earth in their lifetimes, now sing that song before the throne of the Lamb for all time. When asked who are these, John is told that they are the ones who passed through the great ordeal and yet were faithful. They kept believing and hoping, witnessing and giving, praying, even when the going got tough. And now they rest from their labors. Now they are in the presence of the great shepherd who wipes away every tear and has guided them to the waters of eternal life. Note that these saints, clothed in white, are in a great processional, a great parade moving around the throne of God. Friends, do you realize that you and I today are part of that long, more than 2,000-year-old processional moving toward the Lamb? The saints are those who walk before us, those who show us the way. And when we speak of saints, we speak not only of those who are now part of the kingdom. In biblical language, a saint is every believer in Jesus Christ. And so I would not be here today if not for all those saints who put up with me in Sunday school. There were about 20 boys in my class, so you can get the drift, especially in junior high. And they told me the stories of Jesus, and they took me and the other church youth to Camp Bluestone in West Virginia and the Montreat Conference Center in North Carolina. And they guided me when I was confused and put their arms around me when I wanted to give up. I'm thinking of a multitude that I could not possibly name today, but I'll name a few, names like Rod Zeller, Lady Lou Jenkins, David and Christy Groves, my parents and grandparents, and on. And today is a day for you too to be thinking about the people who put you here today, the saints who nurtured you in the faith, and to whom you owe your commitment to Christ. Yes, to gather on a Sunday morning is vividly to be reminded that none of this began with us. We are debtors whenever we gather for worship. As Maya Angelou once said, you have been paid for. When we gather on All Saints Sunday or any other Sunday, our spiritual forebearers look down upon us from the kingdom. And every time we gather, we join in a divine human conversation which began long before us, any of us was born, and will continue long after we die. A conversation far more diverse than any present expression of it. As William Willimon put it, so when you come to worship, put on your crash helmet and fumble for your safety belt when you get to your seat, because surrounded by the saints, you don't know where you'll be by the end of the service. Because friends, in baptism, you too are saints. Part of that long ago journey that continues even today. The minister Fred Craddock tells of returning to a little church of his childhood in Tennessee. He'd not been there for years. Walking in the sanctuary, he noted that they had purchased some new stained glass windows since he had last been there. Admiring the windows, he saw set at the bottom of each window the name of the donor for the window, and he realized that he didn't recognize a single name. Gosh, you must have had many new folks join this church since I was a boy, said Fred to one of the members. I don't recognize a single name. Oh, those people aren't members here. This town hasn't grown a bit since you were a child, and neither is this church. We bought these windows from a company all the way over in Italy. They were made for a church in St. Louis, and when they arrived, none of them would fit. So the company said they were sorry. They would make new windows and told the church in St. Louis to sell these windows to whoever they could. We bought the windows from them. Craddock thought for a moment and then said, but don't you want to remove these names? Well, we thought about it. But we're just a little church, not many of us here, never any new people. So we like to sit here on Sunday morning surrounded by names of people other than ourselves. And so we are, my friends, surrounded by saints, some whose names we don't even know, and some whose names we know and dearly love, and want to remember and honor this day. And are grateful to for all each one of them has done for us. So yes, we are surrounded by saints, by people other than ourselves. And today on All Saints Sunday, we give thanks to God for them all. Amen.